Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Eric von Hippel, professor and head of the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Group at the MIT Sloan School of Management. He's also a noted author of two books, The Sources of Innovation and Democratizing Innovation. I recently met Professor von Hippel at the MIT course on Building and Sustaining an Innovative Organization. So, Professor von Hippel, I understand from your course that users are typically the sources of innovation since they have the need and attempt to solve it first. So what examples can you give us of this type of innovation that you've seen in the field?
It's actually the innovations that are functionally novel that users tend to develop. They tend to develop things where there is no market prior to their action. So you'll see, for example, that the first heart-lung machine was developed by a surgeon. And you can see why, because if you think about what a sort of manufacturer would do, he would look at that thing at the first surgeon and say, you know, we don't even know if you can develop operations. Once you develop a machine, why should we invest in a machine? So basically, when it's functionally novel, the first skateboard, the first heart-lung machine, or other improvements to those where there's no sense that the demand is clear, then users, yes, will innovate.
Now, I keep your photo of the Mount St. Helens car, you know, on my desk as a reminder of, you know, sort of how innovation happens and what it looks like when you see it in the field. Can you talk a little bit about that Mount St. Helens instance?
Yes. That was a picture that you have in mind was taken 2 days after Mount St. Helens blew up. And what you see there is that the police cars had already all been fitted out with homemade extra-large air filters for the cars because the standard side filters were all getting immediately blocked with all the volcanic dust in the air. And here are the users, and you can put yourself in the user's position. You can say, well, either I could try to get this innovation out of the manufacturer, I could write a letter to the Purolator company or something, or I better do it myself because the dust is rising around my doorknobs, and unless I get it done, I'm in real trouble. The manufacturer has no such strong immediate incentive.
Very true. So let's talk about from the web. Now that the web is in place, what changes are you predicting for user innovation and how that intersects with manufacturers?
Well, it's very exciting because basically it used to be that individual user innovators created something. And as I said before, when we track back where innovations come from, if they're functionally novel, we usually find a user behind it. Now, what's happened now is because of the web, these users can collaborate. This makes them much more powerful. They can put much more energy into it, as you can see in the case of an open source project or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the result is that user innovation is going to become much more dominant than it ever was.
Excellent. Are there any examples of user innovation type communities you can share with us?
Yeah, they range from spine surgeons to developers of children's toys. You know, Lego, for example, has an internal development team of maybe 20 model builders. And outside of Lego, they have 20,000 rabid fans who are also developers. And so you can sort of see the relative scale. It's 20 developers against 20,000, and therefore Lego is considering becoming a toy publisher instead of a developer internally of new toys.
Right, right. And I think I remember you saying something about Lego taking 7 years or something to bring to market their Mindstorm product, and then in a week there were X number of hackers or something like that. Is that an accurate statement?
The companies have been surprised by this huge sort of increase in user interaction, user innovation, and user sort of abilities to do this. And so in the case of the Lego Mindstorms product, that was an example of such a surprise. Basically, Lego spent a lot of time internally developing this first robotic product of theirs. And 3 weeks after it was introduced, about 900 hackers were modifying it. And a couple weeks after that, they had considerably improved it over what Lego had done over 7 years. This was one of the lessons to Lego as to, oh my gosh, you know, rather than compete with these people, we ought to find a business model that works with them.
Right, and I love the concept of the manufacturer becoming the publisher of that innovation. I think that that's a really provocative standpoint and something that I think we're going to see coming out of a lot of these user innovation communities. Another one that you talked about was the kite surfing website. Did you want to mention that one as well?
Sure. I mean, it happens, but I don't want to give the impression it happens only in toys. Kite surfing is sports, and all sports equipment basically is developed by users, essentially all. Hmm. I mean, mountain bikes, all the new sports like kite surfing and snowboarding, all developed by users. And that, in kite surfing, there was a website called zeroprestige.org, and what happened was users got together and their design intensity and volume relative to that of the manufacturers sort of overwhelmed the manufacturers. So there's another example. But it's also true, you know, across the board. You should think that it's also true, for example, in semiconductors. Custom semiconductors are being designed increasingly by users and not by the manufacturers. There are communities of spine surgeons collaboratively developing things there that manufacturers then build. So it's across the board, and that's very exciting. It's going to force our economy from a manufactured-centered one, which it's been since the Industrial Revolution, to a user-centered one. This is going to be very freeing for everybody, and it's going to lead to new business models. Manufacturers are not going to get driven out of business. Just like Lego being a toy publisher, they just have to learn new ways of doing business.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a great pleasure. And you too in the audience can take Professor Von Hippel's course at mitsloan.mit.edu/execed. And thank you for listening.